Good morning. Welcome to worship this day as we continue to celebrate Epiphany, the appearance of God, the revelation of God among us. Several things I want you to know about that are going on in the life of our church in the coming days. The first is today we're having audits for all of our different church accounts, and that starts at 1:30, and I believe there's a schedule out here on the on the bulletin board on the ramp here. So if you're involved in one of those funds, make sure you know your schedule, and those are over at the office complex. We appreciate all the folks who look after our various church funds, and also the folks who audit those, who give of their time to do that. So thank you so much for that. This Saturday, the 9th of February, we are going to be doing some learning and working out in the cemetery. If you are interested in knowing how the process out at the cemetery works and being involved in that process, we would love to have you. We're going to start that training at 12:15 on this Saturday the 9th. So just join us out there and we'll go over what is entailed in our cemetery marking, just so we have a community of people who know how to do that as we go forward. Looking ahead, Silly's got a Valentine's dance here in at the Church Fellowship Hall in a couple of Saturdays, so hope you'll join us for that, either parents and children or grandparents and children. Either way, you're welcome to do that. Also, 1 week from today, we've got a special day on Sunday because we're going to do a baptism. I'm right, aren't I? 1 week from today is when we're baptizing Raya Parsons, so we hope you can be here to help us celebrate that next week during our worship service as well. Are there other announcements that we should lift up for the good of the community today? I don't know that we have any prayer shawls this morning, so we'll go ahead and wish some happy birthdays to folks this week. Happy birthday to BJ, to Cam, to Alex, Karen, Myra, and Herbert, and we aren't aware of any anniversaries. Anybody we should add to those lists? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful, raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Stand as we begin worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin
and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you and against your Holy Spirit.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The whole world.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated. If the children will join me this way for the children's message. Good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning. Come on up, everybody. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. All right. I'm so glad to see you guys. You guys always make me smile. And you know, I feel like we just know each other so well at this point. I bet I probably have known you longer than about anybody, haven't I? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I've been here as your pastor for like 4 years, right? So that's a long time. Like, I don't know that I can think of anybody who would have known you longer than 4 years.
Our parents?
Oh. Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, probably your parents have known you a little bit longer than 4 years. Who do you think is the person who's known you the longest? Maybe your mom? Yeah. Okay. Because I've known some of you for 4 years, but I've known you, I think, since the day you were born, or maybe the day after. I can't remember. It was close. And Raya, I've known you since maybe the day after you were born. I can't remember which day, but you were still in isolation in the hospital when I met you. So I've known some of you for a very long time, but you mean to tell me that there are people that have known you even longer than me? Okay, your parents? Yeah, I bet some of you.
And my daddy's parents.
Yeah, and your daddy's parents? Yeah, probably they. Yeah? They probably met, you're right, your daddy's parents probably met you before I did. What were you going to say, Gavin?
God.
Yeah, oh, okay. Oh, Gavin's already ahead of me. Okay, so let's think about this. Let's think about like some of your dads have probably known you since the moment you were born, right?
Yeah.
Do you think. So they must be the ones who have known you the longest, right? Like maybe your dads who might know you since you were born, you think?
My daddy gave me an iPhone.
Yeah, the doctor was involved and you were born. That's right. Wait a minute, hold on. There's somebody else. You said your parents. Who's the other one of your parents besides your dad?
Mom.
Your mom. Oh, you think your mom has known you even longer than since you were born? Yeah, we've got some moms up here, right? Do you sort of know your babies even before they're born a little bit? Because they're in the mommy's tummy, right? And they sort of start to kick and roll around and sometimes have the hiccups. So mommies must be the ones who have known you the very, very longest, you think?
Wait, wouldn't God know you the longest since he's the one who created you?
Oh, game changer. Yeah, in fact, our scripture reading from Jeremiah today is about God who knows us even before we were born and even before we were in our mommy's tummies. Can you believe that? The God who makes us and creates us not only knows us, but even before we're in our mommy's tummies, it says that God loves us and God can call us and have a plan in mind for us. Can you believe that? Longer than 4 years that I've known you, longer than the times since you were born that your parents might know you. That's right. It was a long time ago that you were in your mommy's belly. But even before that you were in your mommy's belly, I don't even know where you were at that point, right? But even before you were in your mommy's tummy, God knew you and God loved you and God had a plan for you, and part of that plan is God calling you to love and care for other people. But that's pretty cool, isn't it? That even before you were in your mommy's tummy, God knew you and loved you and said, you are my precious child, and I think that's pretty cool. So remember that that's who you are. You're the one that God made and God knew and loved even before you were born and even before you were in your mommy's tummy. Can we pray, and then we can talk some more maybe later, Ashton, okay? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for making us and for loving us. Help us to love other people. Amen. Thank you. If you're going to children's church, you can line up over that way, and we'll wait for whoever's our... Let's wait right there, guys, for Miss Jane. And if you're going back to your seats, you're welcome to do that, too.
The first lesson for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany is from the first chapter of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overflow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. The psalm today will be read responsibly by whole verse. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked and the grasp of the unjust and cruel.
For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth.
Upon you I have learned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you.
The second reading is from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to the people of the synagogue, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Boy, that escalated quickly. One moment, Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," and all were speaking well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And the next moment, the crowd became an angry, rage-filled mob, and they're driving Jesus out of town for the purpose of throwing him off a cliff. Yikes. What happened here? How did we get here? I think it's worth refreshing our memories on what came just before this reading. It's what we read last week from Luke's gospel. Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. It's the Sabbath, and he's in the synagogue, and he's just read from the book of Isaiah. And it's what he reads from Isaiah that he says has been fulfilled in him today. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, I might have thought that Jesus saying, "Yeah, that's me," would be enough to make people mad. Like, if I showed up this morning and told you that I am the one that God has anointed to carry out God's work in the world, you'd probably think, at the very least, that it was pretty presumptuous of me to say that, right? And maybe even that it was blasphemous for me to declare myself God's representative. So I could see that people would be a little upset with Jesus. But the thing is, initially, the fact that Jesus says he is the anointed one, it doesn't seem to have thrown people too much, right? The immediate reaction is, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So I guess, to the people of the synagogue, release from captivity, healing, and freedom from oppression sounded like a pretty good deal, and they decided they'd like some of that, right? But Jesus seems to anticipate that their warm reception of his words is not about their gratitude for the faithfulness of God. Jesus seems to anticipate that it might be more likely about their own greed, about what they might get out of this situation and their proximity to Jesus. He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do the things here in your hometown that we have heard that you did at Capernaum.'" Which I think when Jesus says this to them, he's anticipating that they're going to want special treatment because they're his neighbors, right? They're his hometown crowd. It's almost like when you hear these stories about somebody from a really small town winning $100 million in the lottery or something. And the people in the town, you sort of can see it, they start to go, wait a minute, he won $100 million, there's only so many of us here. Hey, you know what? He could give us all a Ferrari and he would still be rich, right? They start to use their proximity to this good news to see how they might benefit. Well, from what Jesus says, I think the people of Nazareth are starting to have those kinds of thoughts. Not about Ferraris, of course, but they're starting to think about how they will benefit, how they can leverage the fact that they're from Jesus' hometown to their advantage. But Jesus puts the brakes on that quickly. He's having none of it. And the way he does it is he references two Old Testament stories that let them know that he's about something bigger here than making the hometown crowd happy. The first story Jesus talks about is from 1 Kings, when God, through Elijah, withholds the rain in all the land for 3.5 years because of King Ahab's unfaithful ways. And so this is a massive drought, and when Elijah himself is desperate for food, who does God send him to? It's to a foreigner, right? A widow, a Gentile non-believer is who God sends Elijah to. And after she follows Elijah's command, remember Elijah says, give me something to eat. And she says, all I've got's enough in the jar to make one little measly cake for me and my child, and then we're going to eat it and lay down and die. And Elijah says, no, no, just bring it to me, it'll be fine. So she does that, and after that, remember, her jar never runs out until the drought ends. Now, Jesus reminds the people in Nazareth that surely there were many widows and many hungry among the Jews in Elijah's day, among God's chosen people. But Jesus points out here that God chose to work through a Gentile. God chose to provide for a Gentile, a foreigner. And then we get the second story that Jesus tells, or at least references. This one's from 2 Kings, and it's the story of Naaman, who is a Syrian general with leprosy. He's just in awful shape over this skin disease. And so he comes to Elisha to be healed by washing in the River Jordan. And in the case of Naaman now, we're not just talking about a foreigner, right? Naaman is actually the commander of the Syrian army that has been at war with Israel multiple times in recent history, and this is who God heals, right? Surely there were plenty of lepers in Israel and Judah, but God chose to heal this enemy combatant. These are the stories that Jesus tells to the people of Nazareth, to his hometown crowd. Taken together, I think they say it's not about you, right? Or at least, it's not just about you. Yes, Jesus seems to be saying to the people of Nazareth, you are the chosen people, but you are chosen, you are blessed, so that you might be a blessing to the nations. I, Jesus, he seems to say, am here for the salvation of all people. And this is actually an idea we find throughout the Old Testament, not just in these two stories that Jesus references. In fact, from near the very beginning, in Genesis, God calls Abram and blesses him and sends him to a new land with the understanding that Abram is blessed so that he will be a blessing. That in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Later, the prophet Isaiah picks up these themes, speaking of Israel's coming Messiah, and says, yeah, look, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Isaiah prophesies that the people of Israel will be given a special light in the Messiah, but not so that they can hoard it for themselves, right? The light given to God's people was so that they could hold it up as a light to all nations, pointing to God's goodness and love. It's about the blessing of the nations, Jesus seems to say, not the perks for the hometown crowd. And we can maybe understand that the hometown crowd is not thrilled with that message. They don't want to hear it. It fills them with such rage that they chase Jesus out of town and do their best to throw him off a cliff, which is all rather interesting, isn't it? Jesus says that his mission is to bring good news to the poor, to let the oppressed go free. And when people don't get that, when they think it's all about them, he specifically relates his mission to God working through and providing for foreigners and Gentiles. I think when it comes to mainstream culture of American Christians, we tend to over-personalize our faith. It sort of can become this thing where it's all about me and my Jesus, and salvation is something that happens one soul at a time. But often, the scriptures reference the salvation of the whole community, the whole people, and the whole of creation. You and I are important parts of that, to be sure. We heard in Jeremiah that we are these infinitely precious creatures to the God who knew us even before we were formed in our mother's wombs. But it's about more than just us, right? It's about something bigger. Salvation is God's plan in Jesus Christ to make all things new. But even when we American Christians do make our faith a little broader than ourselves, I think we sort of tend to get tangled up a little bit. We often tangle it up with things like patriotism, right? One nation under God, and so God bless America, which is a fair prayer, I think, God bless America. But the danger comes in how we think about that blessing and what it is for. The danger comes if we twist and corrupt that blessing and say, aha, see, God blesses us. God blesses me because God approves of what I am doing.
God approves of the way we are doing things, how we are living. The danger comes, and I don't think my mic is working anymore, I don't know why. The danger comes in assuming
that everything that we do or touch is God's will, right? Because actually, if we are blessed, it's not because we are somehow more holy, more deserving, or more loved than anyone else, right? If we are blessed, it's because God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, a light to the nations, so that we can work for God's will for all people. How do we do that? Well, what are the stories that Jesus tells about his mission? God working through a foreigner to feed Elijah and to bless him. God providing food and water to a foreign widow and her minor child. God bringing healing even to a foreign enemy combatant. So, if we want to pray for God's blessing, I'm all for that. Let's ask God to bless us both personally and as a nation. But we cannot forget what that blessing is to be used for. It's not just about us, right? It's about the world. It's about the hometown, chosen people of Israel, using their blessings of God to bless us, the Gentiles. It's about us, American Christians, using what God has given us to be a blessing to needy foreigners and their children. If you're less than thrilled with that, I may be right there with you sometimes. But we'll have to take that up with Jesus. Jesus, who they tried to kill from the very beginning in Luke's gospel because they didn't like any of this. And yet, this is the ministry of Jesus. This is the way Jesus talks about what he is called to do. And so we presume this is the will of God. Jesus comes to serve and to save all of us. And we are called to use our blessedness on behalf of all of God's children. So we're bold to pray, "Bless us, Lord, that we would be a blessing to the whole world." Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of your hymnal or on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray, Lord, for your church. Inspire us by your Spirit as we respond to your call. When we are reluctant, strengthen us. When we are doubtful, encourage us. Above all, let your love shine through us. Lord, in your mercy. Prayers. We pray, God, for the nations. Kindle within us a spirit of respect for one another. Protect those fleeing their homes to escape danger or oppression. Bring peace to communities torn apart by war and violence. Bless us, Lord, that we would be a blessing to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for those in need. Protect those who suffer abuse and encourage those who lack hope. Guide all who provide medical care. Comfort those who grieve and bring healing to the sick. Especially we pray for Burnett, the family of Jane, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, the family of Barbara, Joanne, Barbara, Ed, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, with the prophet Jeremiah, we affirm that even before you formed us in the womb, you knew us and called us. Watch over all mothers, Lord, nurturing children in their wombs, especially Lori, and bring their children safely into this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for this assembly. Bless our children and our elders. Gather us into a community guided by your love. Inspire in us a spirit of hospitality and kindness. Bless us, Lord, that we would be a blessing to the world. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers, God, and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit,
our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.